This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Dr. Miranda Wiley here with us today. She's a Vancouver-based naturopathic doctor and a graduate of the Boucher Institute in New Westminster. She has nearly 20 years' experience in the natural health industry and a very wonderful practice. And she's just a great lady. I'm so happy to have you on the radio today, Dr. Miranda. Welcome.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. So I've heard so much about mushrooms lately, and I just want you to help us learn more and clarify. How did you get acquainted with all these mushrooms? What's your interest?
Well, I started in the health food store when I was 13 years old. So my interest in all sort of herbs and nutrients and any sort of nutraceutical product started a very long time ago. And mushrooms are sort of just an extension of that. There's a lot of wonderful medicinal benefits that they can offer us. And you know, in the same way that we get a lot of benefit from plant materials as well, the fungi are just an additional arsenal in my medicinal repertoire.
And in your practice and in your work, you've been using the host defense mushrooms. Now, this is a specific company that's doing the mushrooms very well. Can you tell us a little bit about the company, where they're located, and how they do their mushrooms?
Yeah, absolutely. The company is founded by Paul Stamets, who's one of the leading mycologists, so expert in all things fungal, so be that yeasts and mushrooms and molds. They're located in Olympia, Washington, and the Host Defense is sort of a subset of the parent company, which is Fungi Perfecti, and Host Defense focuses specifically on the medicinal mushrooms and bringing those to the market so that consumers can get the benefit of these wonderful powerhouses of nutritional and medicinal value.
So these mushrooms aren't wildcrafted. They're actually grown in laboratories.
It starts off with him and his wife, Dusty, going through old growth rainforest near, you know, where they live. They go out as often as they can, and they look for new mushroom species. And when they find one, I mean, he's as big an environmentalist as he is a mycologist. So he wants to study the mushrooms, but without disrupting their habitat or their growth cycle and without having a negative impact on the environment in which they live. So if we harvest the entire fruiting body before it's had time to sporulate, then we're interrupting that life cycle. And what he's found is he needs actually a very small sample. So it's about a core sample, about the tip of your pinky finger or the size of an eraser on the top of a pencil. And he takes a little sample of that mushroom, brings it back to the laboratory, and then is able to grow that out on a Petri dish. So we get the mycelium and that sort of DNA growing out. And then takes a sample of that, about the same size, grows it out on another Petri dish, and so on down the road till we've got a few generations. And there's a couple benefits to this. The first is that anything we bring in from the wild is going to have natural contaminants, right? It's started underground, it's pushed up through the soil, there's going to be other microbes there. And so by growing it out, they're able to, you know, increase the purity of it each time down the road and decrease the amount of contaminants from other bacteria or other fungal spores. It also means that when we're looking at something that's certified organic, if it's, you know, an apple or a carrot, it needs to go through four seasons in certified organic growing conditions. And so with wildcrafted mushrooms, they can't do that because it's wildcrafted and they can't control what might be coming in through the groundwater or the air supply. But by growing it out in carefully controlled laboratory conditions, they can go through those four cycles on USDA organic certified brown rice, and then we can end up with a certified organic mushroom product at the end.
How does this company make sure that the mushrooms are the correct species?
Well, there's a couple of ways of doing that. I mean, DNA testing is probably the most extensive and accurate. But in the same way that certain species only breed with their own species. So if he takes a Petri dish and puts down, you know, one type of agaricon, say, and then he finds another one out in the wild and he puts down that one, if they mate, then we know that they are genetically similar. And if they don't, if they create sort of a barrier between themselves, we know that they are genetically sufficiently diverse that they might want to be considered different species, and he'll, you know, dig deeper and explore further that way.
So mushrooms are actually all purebreds. They won't, you won't get a Heinz 57 out of a mushroom.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, Paul has, or this company has, the largest DNA library of fungi, of mushrooms in the world. So should anything detrimental happen to the rainforest, which unfortunately is happening every day, we have that DNA held back and in reserve so it could ultimately be used for greater good.
And you speak about Paul Stamets. How is he connected to Host Defense?
So he is ultimately the founder. So he has his own company, Fungi Perfecti, and they grow organic mushrooms for consumers, for restaurants, for, you know, the general retail public. And then Host Defense is that sub-company that specifically focuses on medicinal mushrooms and creates liquids and capsules that can be used by any sort of consumer mm-hmm. or a practitioner.
So these are all done in the States, but it's very close to Canada. So we're using a lot of these mushrooms in Canadian distributorships?
Host Defense, I mean, they have their own line and they're distributed across Canada under their own label. So we just, it's just getting bilingual labeling and then distributing them up here the same way they have their spread in the United States.
All right. So as a naturopathic physician, what are some of the medicinal mushrooms? What would they do for us? And what's your favorite medicinal mushroom?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, the easiest one to pick is reishi. Medicinal mushrooms in general, if we look at, again, sort of down to that level of DNA, mushrooms, fungi, and animals are each other's closest relatives. So if we look at the tree of life going back, you know, billions of years, about 650 million years ago is when fungi and animals diversified from each other. So we, the animal side of things, we became mobile. We started going out in search of food. We have an internal digestive tract. So we bring that food in. We release our enzymes, break it down, extract that nutrition. And most of our immune system is lining our digestive tract because that's where we're going to be the most vulnerable to contaminants. Fungi, by contrast, obviously are stationary. They're not moving around. So they've externalized their digestive system. They release enzymes out into the environment to decompose the plant matter and the vegetable and animal matter around it and extract those nutrients. But it also means that because they're decomposing things, they're going to be subject or exposed and coming in contact with other species of yeasts and molds and fungi, that they're going to be coming up against bacteria, insects, predators. So they have a very, very sophisticated immune system themselves that, again, they externalize. And we share about 10% the same DNA as plants, animals and plants, about 10% the same, but animals and fungi about 50% the same, so, because we have that closer relationship when we diversified. So they're creating these wonderful medicinal compounds that help to support immune function and are directly antimicrobial. And we can benefit from that because they really closely sort of mimic our own immune function.
Mushrooms being a food, is there any contraindications for them? Is there anybody that shouldn't take mushrooms medicinally?
Some people are allergic to mushrooms, so that would be a direct contraindication. A lot of them, I mean, there's so many references showing the safety of them. So reishi has been in the Materia Medica that started back in China about 2,000 years ago. So you've got 2,000 years of experience with this mushroom and knowing its safety. Paul and his wife, Dusty, have also started up mushroomreferences.com, which is, you know, non-brand specific and just lists mushroom references from the medical literature. So it's a world of references that you can access. Anyone can access a patient, a physician, and get, you know, scientific references to back up.
Dr. Miranda, you say reishi is probably one of the most well-known, the safe, it's very safe. How would you expect someone to take it? Is there a good way? Would you take it for a season and let it go? Is it like a multivitamin you take for a long period of time?
It depends on that individual, what they need and why they're taking it. Reishi is the easiest one to choose because it kind of covers all the bases. It's an adaptogen, so it helps us with our stress response. It's a nerve tonic, so it can help us with energy and focus. It's also supportive for cardiovascular health, for liver health, for kidney health, for lungs. It's antihistamine, so it's great for someone suffering from hay fever or asthma. It's anti-candida, so if someone has a candida infection, reishi can help them fight that. And it's anti-inflammatory. Wow. So someone's just gone through a very stressful period, or they know they have a stressful period coming up, say with exams or back to school or tax season, they can get on Reishi prophylactically to help them through that. Or if they didn't take it and now they're just burnt out, they're not sleeping well, they're exhausted, they're not digesting their food, their blood sugar's all over the place, then they can take it for that period of time to help them get better. But it's a tonic mushroom. It can be taken daily if necessary, while we work on the rest of lifestyle to help that person ultimately be stronger.
Okay. And lion's mane's another one that's getting a lot of press right now. Can you tell us the wonders of lion's mane?
Lion's mane, I mean, if there's an old sort of theory or way of approaching medicine and herbs, which is called the doctrine of signatures. And really, ancient herbalists and druids and medicine people and shamans were going out into nature and looking at a plant and seeing if it reflected a part of the body, if it looked like a part of the body. Lion's mane is worth Googling. It's got a beautiful, like, thin white cords that come down. It looks kind of like nervous tissue. It grows here in the Pacific Northwest, so some people can go out and harvest it. It's edible, so you saute it up with some garlic and a bit of coconut butter, whatever you choose, and it's medicinal. But it has a wonderful effect on the nervous system. So anything from anxiety and depression to, there's even research going on at Emory Medical School studying it in Alzheimer's patients. So we can get, again, that scientific reference and get out of the world of testimonials. So nerve damage, anyone post-surgery, and we want to help those nerves to heal. Alzheimer's, possibly multiple sclerosis, although I don't know of any studies. I have to research that, but I haven't. Last time I checked, there weren't any. But in theory, that would be anything to do with the nervous system. Lion's mane is going to be wonderful. And most of us have stressed-out nervous systems these days.
Yes. And immune system, what would be the best mushroom, say, for autoimmune or even for cancer?
That's, again, where Reishi comes in. So it has the most studies for autoimmune conditions, mostly rheumatoid arthritis are the studies that have been done and published. So because it helps to support our own innate immune system. There's two arms of our immune system. The innate is the one where the cells are circulating, and they're really looking for, is this self? Do I recognize this cell as, you know, my host, or has it changed? So maybe that cell has been infected by a virus and it looks different, it's expressing differently, and so the immune system will know to destroy it. Or maybe it has turned cancerous and it's starting to not behave the way it should, and the immune system will identify it and knock it out. So that's using natural killer cells and macrophages. But the mushrooms also produce some direct antimicrobials if you have, you know, bronchitis or sinusitis or some sort of infection. But because they work with the innate immune system, they're really wonderful for normalizing immune function. And in an autoimmune condition, it's gone, it's running amok. And because Reishi is anti-inflammatory as well, so it's helping to sort of support and regulate immune function while cooling some of the damage done by an overwrought immune system. Cancer is not something I treat. You really can't dabble. I think you need to focus on it well. Mm-hmm. But some of the products that Host Defense has that has been shown to be sort of beneficial against cancer would be the My Community product. It's a blend of 17 mushrooms. And in the same way that, you mix two things together and you get a total that's greater than the sum of the parts, right. If we look at supporting natural killer cell activity with any one mushroom, you know, that's recordable and measurable, but there's a synergy when you blend mushrooms together. So there's Stamets 7, which is 7 mushrooms, and that's been shown to increase immune or natural killer cell activity by, I think it's 3,000%. I'm going to have to double-check that number. Mm-hmm. And then the blend of 17 mushrooms, there we go. That's the one that increases natural killer cells by more than 300%.
It's fascinating, the power of mushrooms. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about all these medicinal mushrooms.